You're listening to the Rockford Symphony Orchestra podcast, where we look to inform about our upcoming events and give insight to behind-the-scenes happenings at the RSO. All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of our podcast. Today, we're talking about our third chamber concert of our series, of our 24-25 season, Jazzy Journey. And this is on Sunday, April 27th, 3 p.m. at Trinity Lutheran Church. And sitting down with me today, I have Joel Ross, our principal keyboardist. Hi, Joel. How are you?
Good morning.
And I have also Rachel Handlin, our assistant concertmaster.
Good morning. You, very good. Thanks.
All right. So let's get into it. Let's just talk a little bit about, first, let's talk about what's on the program. What are people going to hear?
Well, most of the program is entails a couple major works of Claude Bowling. And perhaps not all of your listeners will even know who he is. He was born in 1930, and he lived to be 90 years old, born in France, and child prodigy. And part of his claim to fame, I think, is he wrote film scores for over 100 movies. And the thing I think that also really put him on the map was his interest in what we might call the crossover genre, collaborations with classical instrumentalists, and then Claude Bowling's own jazz piano trio. Claude Bowling was definitely bilingual. He was a brilliant composer and, of course, played in the classical realm, but also a great jazz pianist who, according to his bio, even when he was 14, he was playing professionally in jazz clubs. So one of the pieces was the first attempt at one of these collaborations, and maybe in some ways his most successful. It was in 1975 that it was recorded, so we're actually celebrating the 50th anniversary of this piece. It's his suite for flute and jazz piano trio. And jazz piano trio, what that means is a piano, upright bass, and drum set. So the exciting thing about the piece is he's able to delicately dance between the classical genre and the jazz genre. It's unusual. He was very successful in this concept, maybe more successful than some. He wrote the piece for Jean-Pierre Rampal, of course, brilliant flute player, and it was such a resounding success that he was commissioned by other brilliant instrumentalists, namely Pinchas Zukerman, to compose a piece for violin and jazz piano trio, and then Yo-Yo Ma commissioned one for cello, and Maurice André for trumpet. So it's unusual to have these really high-flying A-tier professional musicians go to someone and say, hey, write me a piece like you wrote for Jean-Pierre Rampal.
Yeah, that's awesome. And a lot of collaborations and a lot of music makes sense when you live to be 90, right? A long right. life to do that for. Yeah. So something you said, and I think it's kind of the basis around this whole concert, really is that intersection of jazz and classical, right? And how these two are coming together. Rachel, can you tell us a little bit about that and your playing experience? Do you play a lot of jazz? I know, Joel, you play a lot of jazz, so this is probably very comfortable in your realm. But sure. Rachel, do you have any experience with jazz?
Not a lot. I played piano in jazz band in junior high. That's as okay. far as my playing jazz goes. But I was a student at NIU actually at the same time as Scott Metlika, who's another one of our performers. And not only did we have the world-renowned Vermeer Quartet there, also, Ron Modell's Mode Show, the jazz band, was really hot at that time. So I did spend a lot of time listening to jazz. The mediums are, just as challenging, just different from one another. So I think, doing something in the style of is something that violinists have become quite accustomed to, back in, the day of Fritz Kreisler and William Primrose and Yasha Heifetz, they would, especially Kreisler, would write pieces in the style of, but often they were his own compositions. Other, like Heifetz and Primrose, would maybe arrange music that they would play on their recitals. So this concept of, I don't know, maybe Pinchas Zukerman was too busy to write his own music, or he didn't want to, but, but he was thought, well, you know, why don't I ask someone to write a piece for me in a style that he could include on a concert, a movement or two, or even maybe the whole thing, and get to place a style that he liked but maybe wasn't super well-versed in.
Yeah, okay. Does the preparation change at all? Does the mindset change when you're approaching a piece that's more jazz-based?
Well, I think, of course, it does. I mean, I did a lot of listening to Zukerman, of course, because it was written for him, but also to other performers. But I was surprised, because I had done so much listening to jazz musicians when I was at school. A lot of those sounds came back. And the part is written maybe a little awkwardly for the violin. And the violin is not... I would say my part can be played like a classical musician, with it's like the accompaniment's more jazzy than the part that I play, but I also have to know how it fits in. So I found it to be, you know, it's been a fun challenge. I've worked a lot on it. It's a challenging work, in particular the Caprice. So yeah, but I've enjoyed working on it a lot.
Yeah, the accompaniment is really going to be different this time around, right? We got Dan Brett's on drums, which we haven't seen drums in a chamber series. We had a percussionist in the first one, but what's that?
He's awesome.
Like?
Dan is a great musician, of course. I mean, he with the RSO, he also plays with Elgin and Peoria. I think he said 5 or 6 different symphonies he works with, and he's in a half a dozen bands. So that means he has to be skilled in many musical languages, which is what's required. Bowling has written things in the swing idiom, Latin idiom, soft rock, you know, bossa nova, a little bit of funky things. So, you know, you have to be able to speak those languages. And, of course, Allison Gaines, the principal bass player, she's called upon to do some things that she might not otherwise do in a symphony setting. I guess for the pianist, people sometimes wonder, well, if Claude Bowling was a jazz pianist, is the part written out, or how does this look? And the answer is yes. He wrote out a part for the pianist, but there are vast swaths of music where he will write like improv or in the style of, or such and such idiom, and then he will include chord symbols, which dictates to the pianist that there's a little freedom within the harness, that here is where you can stretch out a little and play this passage, you know, in this style, but make it your own. So that's one of the things that is truly unique about the piece, is that when you listen to different recordings or different musicians play it live, it won't sound the same every time. Whereas if you're listening to maybe a violin concerto or a piano concerto, yes, you'll hear different articulations. There might be slightly different tempos. Maybe the vibrato, you know, of the violinist will be different, but they're not going to be changing the notes as such. They're going to be playing what's on the page. And that's the fun thing for me, because I do have... I do walk the tightrope between the classical and the jazz realm, so I'm comfortable in both, and I've tried to make it very respectful to what he's written, but also make it my own. And essentially, I think that's what musicians have always done. They can't try to be like someone else, because then that's not authentic. They have to make it their own, and I think the audience appreciates that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, there will be some improvisational elements then. Only from the keyboard, or do some other instruments have written parts like that?
Great question. Most of the other parts are written out. There is always, of course, I think the drummer has the most freedom because there are not pitches. There is a staff written, but then, of course, there's hi-hat hits and bass drum hits and snare hits and such. But there again, you make it personal. And that's what I think takes people on this journey. One of the things Allison was mentioning to me is she said that there might not be anything so so deep about the music or something that's intellectually rigorous, but just let the music wash over you. That he just experiments with so many different styles that it just takes you on a journey. And after all, that's what the concert is entitled, yeah. Jazzy Journey.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Yeah, and I think that's one of the huge things about jazz that people appreciate is that personal aspect to it. Like you said, these musicians are taking oftentimes just lead sheets, chord symbols, and really making it their own and coming up with things on the spot, which I think is really interesting.
And truth be told, 200 years ago or more, if you want to call them classical musicians, there was an expectation that they would do that. There was an expectation that they could improvise. Their cadenzas were improvised on the spot. A lot of recitals would be original material that they would have written, or a lot of pianists, for instance, would write transcriptions of opera tunes and other things. It was just an expectation that they would be creative on the spot. And I think sometimes we've forgotten a little bit of that, and it's good to get back into how can we be a more holistic musician, and that is to stretch out and do things that are maybe a little bit out of our comfort zone.
Yeah, be really well-rounded in that sense, I think.
I actually heard Pinka Zukerman when I was a teenager in my hometown of Lindsborg, Kansas, with 3,200 people, community concerts presented, St. Paul Chamber Orchestra, and Pinka Zukerman. Oddly, I can't remember what he played. I think it was Mendelssohn. But I knew it was a big deal that he was coming. And then his now ex-wife, Eugenia Zukerman, also came and was in my hometown. So, you know, being from a small place and not knowing that much about the great vast world of fine musicians, I knew that that was a concert that I wanted to hear and needed to see. And I remember how impressed I was, and even though I can't remember what they played. And so to get to play something that he commissioned, I think is pretty neat.
Yeah. Yeah. So what else might we hear on this program? I know a lot of it is around the Claude Bolin, but what
right.
else is on the program?
Well, that's, I guess I'd like to think of it as the two Claude Bolin pieces. And just to be clear, the original suites are pretty lengthy. The flute suite has 7 movements if you do the whole thing, and it's like 40 minutes long, and the violin suite is 45 minutes long. So what we've done is we've selected, we think, are some of the best movements that really illustrate some of the different styles and, you know, and again, walking that tightrope between the classical and jazz realm. But then, so we have 2 entrees, and then the dessert are some pieces that I have come up with in we might say, just reaching into our classical music grab bag and pulling out a few tunes and then adding our jazz flair to them. What's interesting, I think, is that most any musician is naturally drawn to a great tune, and they're going to want to put their individual stamp on it. Think of the hundreds of singers, for instance, that might have recorded Hallelujah. Yeah. There must be something about yeah. that they like, and they're going to make this their own. Well, there are many melodies by master composers that have found their way into pop songs of the day, like the Chopin Raindrop Prelude that became the pop song, I'm Always Chasing Rainbows. And who can forget Barry Manilow's Could It Be Magic? That was Chopin's Prelude in C minor. And Eric Carmen in 1975, All By Myself, that was inspired by Rachmaninoff's Piano Concerto No. 2. So there must have been something in the water in 1975 because we've got Eric Carmen reaching back to Rachmaninoff and Barry Manilow looking to Chopin and Mr. Bolling doing his thing. So I don't want to spoil the surprise, but let's just say that we're going to do some of that, and we encourage you to, again, come and enjoy what we hope will be a really great afternoon of fine music making.
Yeah, and I think that's something that still holds true across a lot of the concerts we've done where people maybe are unfamiliar with the works or things like that, but where good music is good music, and you gravitate towards it and you enjoy it, whether you recognize it or not. So that's kind of cool that maybe there will be some things that people also recognize and can get into it that way. Something else I think is really popular about the chamber series as a whole is, of course, the smaller ensemble of musicians and the way you guys interact with each other and the audience. Can you speak a little to that, how that's different from being on the Coronado stage, what that's like being working without a conductor?
Sure. Many of us play in ensembles because being a soloist might not be our first choice. So when you play chamber music, it's like you get to be a soloist, but with a bunch of your friends. And that has a really different feel. And I work just as hard at my orchestra music, but obviously there are many other people playing my same part. And you don't hear yourself as well. It just doesn't feel, it doesn't have quite the same feeling as chamber music. So it's different. And in chamber music, because you do have your own part, a solo part, but you're playing with other people, it's just a like a conversation with friends. Scott Metlika and Mike and I have played over together over for the coffee shop series.
Yeah, at Anderson Gardens.
Gardens. Mm-hmm. And even though I'm not playing directly with him on this concert, but I think it is something we always seek is, you know, who do we appreciate as musicians and how can we work together? And Joel, you accompanied me a long time ago. We played a Beethoven Romance at Rock Valley College. Do you remember that? It was like a really, really long time ago.
Well, yeah, we've shared the stage in different aspects.
Yeah.
I can echo what Rachel has said. I think part of chamber music playing is you have to take ownership. There's no one to hide behind. And there has to be a communication. If you have something that you need to say musically, you know, you have to be diplomatic and tactful. It's not my way or the highway. You know, what do you feel about this? Is that tempo work for you? How do you feel about the transition to this new section? Well, I didn't like that quite so much. Well, let's try this. Because there's no maestro, as it were, dictating, or excuse me, what's the word I should be using? Telling us what his vision is. I mean, it's all of our vision. And the chamber music series also has some other challenges, not to get too deep in the weeds, but all the musicians that are sharing the stage are very, very busy. Allison, she lives in Nebraska and is doing auditions and interviews for other positions in academia. Like I said, Dan plays in three states. Rachel is in Kansas all the time.
Just finding the time to get together.
And I'm working out of eight separate music binders for different projects all simultaneously. So that has been a challenge, but we're convinced that it'll be worth it. So buy a ticket, please. Bring your friends, please. We'd love to have the place packed and hear some pieces that most people will not be familiar with, but will certainly enjoy.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And I love that aspect that even though it's maybe tricky to get your schedules aligned, that when you do come together, like Rachel said, it's like coming together with friends.
And it is.
I'm sure the conversation then becomes easy in that way. So yeah, really great stuff happening. Anything you would like to add before we wrap up?
Yeah, I think, I don't think there would be a better way to spend that afternoon.
Well put.
Yeah, so please join us Sunday, April 27th. This is 3 p.m. at Trinity Lutheran Church. You can get your tickets at rockfordsymphony.com, or you can even just show up the day of and get them at the door. We hope to see you all there. Thank you so much, Joel and Rachel, for sitting down with me and talking a little bit about this performance.
We appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you so much.